Welcome to the Leon Fontaine Podcast, Senior Pastor of Springs Church and CEO of Miracle Channel. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Father, help me to speak today. Let Holy Spirit just change hearts, minds, lives. Father, I ask that in your wonderful name. Amen. And amen. I want to welcome all the other campuses of Springs Church who are joining us. So good to have you with us. And we know God's word's going right through that screen, going to change your life. In John chapter 16 and verse 12 is a very unique verse in the Bible. And we have been on a series about training you for ministry. One of the greatest mistakes the church has made in the first world is to think that pastors are the professionals and that the people who sit in the chairs are just here to get looked after. And my dad had a funny saying he always used. He was my pastor for most of my early life. He said, "I don't mind bottle feeding Christians. I just don't like parting the whiskers to get it in." And he was simply saying that the purpose for church is to meet the needs of people, but then to coach you, train you, equip you, and raise you up till you're Satan's worst nightmare, until the lives you're changing, the people you're talking to, getting over the fear, the embarrassment, and letting God use you to change lives. The change up in your life is incredible as you move from being ministered to ministering to others. It's powerful and it's not hard. We complicate things. In John chapter 16, verse 12, it says, this is Jesus talking. Now listen to this. "I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them." Let's just stop right there. Whoa. What would you say? Jesus is saying, "I got so much to teach you, but you're not going to be able to handle it." Then he goes on to say, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come." Let's stop right there. He's talking to disciples, and he hasn't died for them yet. So they're not forgiven. The presence of God is not on the inside of their spirit. Did you know that when you don't have the presence of God inside of you, you have not been forgiven, washed clean, and the Holy Spirit is residing inside of you, you have no ability to really understand the powerful, deeper things of God that'll change you, that'll change your life, your body, your mind, your home, your future. There needs to be a recreation work of Holy Spirit within you. So he's looking at his disciples. He knows he's going to the cross. And he says, "I got so much to talk to you about, but you can't handle it yet." Do you know who he talked to the most after this? After Jesus died, little interesting side note, after Jesus died and rose again, he met with a murderer named Saul, knocked him off his horse with a bright light, and said, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul thought he was doing God's work, nailing Christians. And Jesus said to him, "I'm going to show you what I've called you to." Did you know that he trained Paul for 14 years? He went off to Arabia. He sat down. It says he went and met with Jesus, and Jesus met with him in visions and caught him up and began to teach him all the things. And Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, the revelation of the cross to the throne, of grace, of forgiveness, of the new creation, of what it means, how we should function in authority on this planet. All of this was brought out to Paul. Peter even says about him, when Paul starts talking, dude, it's like, he didn't say dude, but come on, it's like, whoa. Jesus had revealed something to Paul that recreated believers could now see and understand. It was a complete change of a human being into something that the devil was afraid of. Jesus says here, "I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." He says, he will glorify me. He'll take care of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Did you know that Holy Spirit speaks to you individually about what you need for this week? He doesn't just randomly teach you the word. Let's start in Leviticus and let's go through. No, Holy Spirit knows what is ahead of you. He knows that it's going to be some marriage stuff you got to sort through this week. And he begins to reveal to you God's word on love. Begins to reveal to you how to stop the enemy and the attacks on your home and your marriage. He'll begin to show you your authority in the word. Maybe it's finances and he sees the enemy ahead of you and what he's going to try to do to your business and bankrupt you and destroy everything you've built for the generations that are ahead of you. And he begins to lead you into truth, to help you for this week. He knows the future, and we need Holy Spirit so desperately. We need him guiding us, leading us, and into the truth you need for this Saturday. You need for this Friday. You need in raising your kids. You need in all of Holy Spirit. He knows the future. He sees even where you are shallow in your doctrine, not in God's word, and it says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. It doesn't say my people perish for a demonic attack. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. And the pride that goes with many Christians is thinking because you've been a Christian for so many years that you got it all together and you got the word of God figured out. And the Bible's very clear. In your lifetime, you won't scratch the wisdom that is in the word of God. We need to love the word. We need to enjoy the word. We need to recognize that once you get born again, Holy Spirit's job is to guide you into all truth, the truth that you need. He knows the order that you're going to need it. He knows that you need to literally marinate in God's word. It needs to become special to you, important to you. In a world of crazy, fast racing around, the primary loss to a believer is not waiting on God. You know, in my dad's day and my grandpa's day, they understood what it meant to wait on God. It doesn't say wait for God. Big difference. When you're hanging out with your wife, you're not waiting for her. Well, sometimes. You're here waiting with her, wanting to hang out with her. It's laying aside time, feet up, talking, coffee, walking. This is not a waiting for something to happen. This is an enjoying of a relationship. So few Christians actually do this with God, to fellowship with Holy Spirit, to let God's word come alive. And so you need that. Jesus is telling his disciples, you need some more information, but you can't handle it yet. Holy Spirit's going to show you. I'm telling you, you need some more information for the years that are ahead of you, and you can't handle what's coming up. The great things that God has, the phenomenal stuff he wants you, you're not going to be able to handle it. Even the lies of the enemy and the stuff he's going to try to trick you in, you're not going to be able to handle it. But Holy Spirit knows exactly what's coming up. And if you'll wait on God, if you'll rely on the teacher, this incredible professor, this incredible coach, to be going to say, there's nothing ahead of you I won't prepare you for. Isn't that beautiful? You don't have to worry about the future. There's nothing coming down the pike that Holy Spirit's not aware of, and he's trying to prepare you for it. Did you know that once you get saved, I said this earlier, the most primary thing Holy Spirit does is to reveal God's word. As you begin to get into God's word, to make it so powerful and potent that your mind is your renewed, your heart, where those deeper beliefs of identity, who you are, begin to pick up who you are according to the Bible, and you change. You can work all you want on your marriage, do all the right things according to the laws of romance and intimacy, but the presence of God will help you in immense ways because your marriage is not working just in a vacuum. Your marriage is under attack by the liar of lies, the enemy. And once you know that, then there's got to be a spiritual protection besides just a mental awareness of how to make marriage work. There are marriages here right now that you're almost finished. And you've tried everything. You just pull them by your hair out, both of you. And what's going on is Satan hates marriage. Hates it. He wants to destroy the family, destroy the home, destroy gender, destroy sexuality, destroy everything about the home. If we don't think Canada's under attack, we're naive. If we don't think that when you're watching the news and the murdering that's going on from this crazy from schools to parents with their own kids to the stupid, if you don't think for a moment there's a demonic realm and that there is a devil, you're naive. But we don't need to be worried about him if we know the truth. The Bible teaches us very clearly that Holy Spirit will guide us into truths about who we are. We don't need to fight the devil. He's been dethroned. But we need to be aware of that and not listen to his lies, not listen to this constant barrage of talking that goes on in your head. The Bible calls them fiery darts, fiery arrows. It kind of goes like this. Bam! And that thought just comes up inside, and you think it's your thought. It's not your thought. It's a demonic thought from the very pit of hell, brought to you by a brilliant assassin who has no power except to turn your power against you. And your only protection is to have Holy Spirit teach you the word, so that all those lies that come at you, about your marriage, about your future, about your kids, about making you give up your faith for the future, that is, all of these lies are designed to compromise this believing that rises up and says, my family will be strong, our finances will be blessed, the favor of God is upon me, no weapon that is formed against me prosper. Satan is a loser, and not none of his lies apply to my family, my home, my kids. And the word begins to rise up on the inside of you. The other day I had a conversation with a man that was so fascinated with learning to listen to Holy Spirit. And so I said, why are you so fascinated right now in your life with hearing and getting direction from Holy Spirit? He said, because I'm hearing you talk about it and I want that. I said, you don't even know the word yet. What do you mean? I said, the first way God directs you is with his word. People who don't know the word, or people who are not obedient to the word, don't need to listen to Holy Spirit. That's beyond you. You're not even obeying the word yet. It's kind of quiet in here. The very first direction from God is your Bible. And it'll teach you every area. And as you immerse yourself in the word of God, you will change. Your desires will change. Romans chapter 8 says, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. That wasn't my message, but let me just give you a couple things to think about, meditate on. When you focus more on your five senses and your needs in the carnal realm, they all rise. Your need for more food rises. Your need to be important rises. Your need to be looked after rises. Your need for sex begins to go into lust rather than romance and beautiful between a man and a wife and God. All of your physical desires begin to rise up and they occupy your attention. You begin to become aware of what you don't like, what you don't want. Your kids, your marriage, your husband, your family, your home, your finances. You become negative. You become literally, why? Because to be carnally minded is death. There's a negative side. There's an awareness of all your needs and who's not looking after you and what you don't like about your spouse, your wife, your church, your pastor. All of these things begin to rise up when you're carnally minded, when you're physically minded. But when you are spiritually minded, it is life and peace. A peace comes into your life in all the areas that are driving you. Go succeed at the cost of your marriage. Go be known. Make sure that you get the mic. Make sure that you're the one that rises. Like all of these desires. I'm not being looked after. My needs aren't being met. And so you. That's carnally minded. And it destroys homes. It destroys marriages. It destroys churches. It destroys people's futures as they begin to be led off of the call of God on their life. Tempted outside of the call when they actually think they're hearing him, but they're just carnally minded. The word of God is beautiful, powerful, important. Let me read you a well-known chapter, and I think it's going to change your world when you see what God is saying in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It literally means there, I shall not want for anything. He makes me lie down in thorns and thistles and sickness and disease and in poverty. No, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside infected, diseased, sick, unhappy, stressed out waters. No, he leads me beside still waters. This beautiful pastoral scene is what your shepherd Jesus leads you in. He restores my soul. Some of you have been so slapped up this month, so beaten up. Things are going on in your life. Maybe you've lost someone you love. Maybe it's business related. Maybe it's just this onslaught. You know, when the enemy starts attacking your thought life, he never does it in one area, he does it in three. It's like the 1-2-3 punch. Bam, bam, bam. You're going, what's wrong with my life? Everything's going south. I don't know. No. You're just under a mental attack. The only place the enemy's got any kind of little bit of ability is to put new thoughts in your head to get your believing off course. He restores your soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. We just think that that just means morally righteous. Oh, for sure. But he leads you in the right paths for you. It says, for his name's sake, every path you've got is for the purposes of God. Now listen to this one. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let's talk about this with our last few minutes we have remaining. Why doesn't it say, I've dealt with your enemies, they're gone from your life? That's what I'd like to do. Psst, psst, bam, gone. But until Jesus comes back or you die, you will need to be blessed in the presence of your enemies. Who are your enemies? Well, let's make a list. Is Satan your enemy? Of course. Then are demons your enemy? Of course. Then is sickness your enemy? Yes. Poverty? Yes. Anger, murder, all of the negative stuff that comes that was not designed for the Garden of Eden came because of the fall of man as Lucifer came in. So in the presence of our enemies, he prepares a table. Why does it say he prepares a table? A table is a picture of provision. A table is a picture of blessing. A table is a picture of energy and eating and laughing. Whenever we get around the table at our house, dude, you can hardly get a word in edgewise. It's laughing, joking, talking. It's serious. It's sharing. It's just the table is amazing when families get together under the presence of God, the home, the table. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. That means in the presence of the sickness pushing at your family, God has prepared a table of health and healing and peace. In the midst of your financial problems, as it looks like he's kicking your butt in every direction and you might lose the company, how are you going to provide for yourself? In the midst of the enemy of poverty, he's prepared a table for you, and the provisions that you need are there. In the midst of anger and guilt, in the midst of all that's going on right now in your life, and it looks as though things are falling apart, it says, Jabez saying, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When you get to heaven, you can have the blessing without an enemy. But on the planet, you get the blessing, but there's an enemy. People say, well, see you, Leon, in the sweet by and by. When we get to heaven, things are going to be okay. If that's the only time you want it, fine. But as for me, the Bible says very clearly, when Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven comes to earth in my life, in your life. We've got, which kingdom are we going to be serving and walking with? The kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light? There are two kingdoms on this planet, and you need God's word. You need to get out to church. Get out to our Bible school courses. Get out and learn. Get God's word on the inside of you. It says you prepare a table before me in the presence. If you could just get this one line today, that there's never going to be a time you're not going to look up and see enemies. Don't let it scare you anymore. There's never going to be a time you're not going to see the stats. 1 in 5 men are going to have cancer, the world says, in their lifetime. 1 in 5 is the stat I just read. 1 in 3, it's same stat says for women. But for you, He prepares a table of provision and healing and blessing in the midst of disease and cancer. In the midst of what's going on financially, wherever you are, and the guy gets on the news and CNN, constant negative news, and says, this, and you can just go, yeah, I understand what goes on. There's an enemy of poverty. There's an enemy on this planet. But as for me, God's prepared a table for me, and he provides. His provision is for me in the midst of poverty. 1,000 may fall at your side, it says in Psalms 91. 10,000 at your right hand. You will only look on with your eyes. Why? Because he's prepared a table before you in the very presence of your enemies. If we could understand that this is a beautiful picture. This is David sharing this psalm in his life. But much of the Old Testament is dual. It is something from the Old Testament, and it's prophetic of the New Testament. It is showing us a day that when Jesus died for you and I, and we reach out and we embrace him as our Lord and Savior, and we bring him in, there's a strength in you. There's a power in you. There's an ability in you. And there's a favor upon you. God, the Bible says his favor comes on your life. For no reason other than he has set his love on you and you've given your life to him. Oh, if you need to look at this 23rd Psalm, it goes on to say how blessed you're going to be. He anoints my head with oil. Oh, let's stop right there. You know, whenever we talk about the anointing of oil, it's always a set apartness with the power of God upon you. When King David, as a shepherd boy, was anointed with oil, the Bible says the presence of God came upon him to be a king and it never left him. He anoints your head with oil, the oil of gladness, the oil of peace, the presence of God for strength. When you think you're on your last brain cell, when you don't think you got any energy left to make this relationship work, when you don't think you can go on another day, when you've lost the ability to dream, when you've lost the ability to look ahead and believe that life can be amazing and great, he needs to anoint you with fresh oil. His presence comes upon you, and you don't know how to explain the hope that rises up. It's supernatural. The love that rises up for someone, it's supernatural. And this faith, he says, my cup overflows. Someone said to me, Leon, you expect too much. One guy said to me, he says, you set people up to fail because you make it sound as though serving God is so full of joy and beautiful and it's peaceful. I said, show me in the Word where it says otherwise. Well, he found a few verses that talks about suffering, and he found a few verses. I said, get him into context. Of course we're gonna suffer on this planet. Of course people are gonna say things about you. People are gonna do things to you. Yes, we live in a fallen world where the enemy is gonna attack you, but the Bible says that God's causing you to triumph. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. You start believing there's no table for you. You start believing that Satan has a right to mess with you. You start believing the devil's powerful. You start believing all these lies. And your life will be one big wah, wah. Well, Leon, are you saying there's not going to be storms? Oh, no. Bible says it in Luke chapter 6. It says, don't call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say. It's like a man building his house on the sand. Storms come and destroy him. Build your house on the rock and the storm can't destroy you. Words of Jesus. Either rip it out of the Bible or believe it. God is here for you. God is here for your future. God is here for your marriage. God is here for your family. God is here for your prosperity. God is here for your healing. God is here for your peace. God is here for your joy. And to believe any other lie, I don't care if it comes from a religious preacher pointing his finger in a camera. If you want to believe that trash, you go right ahead. But I've been serving him for 55 years, and he's good. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. And he's worth believing. It says here, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Isn't that good? You can fail, get off course, drop the ball, make a mistake, and there's mercy right there just following you. Whenever I've taught on this before, I used to teach you this song we used to sing when I was a kid, and it goes, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days, and I thought surely goodness and mercy were three women. Surely, goodness and mercy. But it's saying, surely, for sure, be aware, be know this, goodness and mercy follows you all the days of your life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In John chapter 8, verse 31, and my time is up, it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who believed, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciplined followers, disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If a document was delivered into my hands that says, Leon, your rich uncle, da-da-da, left you an estate, and I took it to my lawyer to make sure the document was real, and I took it to my banker to make sure that money was there, and I took it to the lawyer to make sure the thing, and it's been proven, I've got news for you. My life will change as I learn to access that money. I learn to use it the way I need to. I learn how to take it out, how to put it in, how to invest it. It changes my whole world because I now have an inheritance. I need to look after it. I can't just walk away, I don't believe that. None of you would even do that. And if there was a book this thick on how to handle those millions of dollars, you'd read it cover to cover 10 times or every week. God's word is the instruction on you, on the inheritance that's been left to you and I, the spirit power, the renewing of the mind, the favor, the blessing, all of these incredible things have been left for you and I. Why do we believe in religion? Religion says you got to earn God's blessing, got to earn God's favor, that life is hard and then you die. Life for religion is filled with buts. But, well, Jesus died for you. Well, healing is a part of the atonement. Well, he came to give us life and more abundantly. But he's here to protect your kids. But your marriage can be amazing. You can be blessed with the wife of your youth into old age. We got to get rid of all the big buts. Got to get rid of them. Don't hang out with them. I don't listen to the buts. You know, sheep follow goats' butt. I'm not going to be a goat. And no wonder Jesus separates the sheep from the goats. I'm going to believe his word. And there is something about knowing the truth, renewing your mind with the truth. And listen to this. We'll talk about this again. And acting on the truth. Because faith without works is dead. The very first action you need to do today, let me give you an assignment, is to start to declare what you believe. Because if you don't say what you believe, you have not released it into the three worlds. The Bible says very clearly that we tread upon lions and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. It says that we have authority in heaven, in earth, and below the earth. He's talking about demons and angels and people. We have been so provided for, but religion lies to us. My challenge to you is find the promises of God. Get a hold of this message. Go get the CD, or if you've got good notes, find the verses and get up and speak it over your life. Well, see, Leon, it doesn't work for me. I hear you talk about it, but it doesn't work for me. Oh, I don't get it because I know it. I get it because I speak it and I prophesy to it and I pray it and I believe it. I get up in the morning declaring, today's going to be the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. My future is secure. I hear his voice. I got big Mickey Mouse ears in Jesus' name. And I'm going to hear the voice of my shepherd. He's going to lead me by name. I'm going to follow him to green pastures, still waters. I'm going to be an overcomer. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I talk. I speak the word, and the spoken word dominates everything the enemy life tries to throw at you, and it guides you, and it leads you, and it fills you with his presence. Do you spend time in God's word, or do you just pop by for your 25-minute blessing once on Sunday? When do you sit down with a cup of coffee and turn off your TV, your iPad, your phone, and every other toy you've got and just say, Holy Spirit, I'm here. Teach me the word of God. Just put things on quiet. You know, whenever I try to have time with God, you know what happens to me? I start remembering all the things I haven't done yet. Does that happen to you? I'll sit down and go, I'm going to have some quiet time with God. And then I go, oh, I promised Sally to change those lights. Ooh, I forgot to phone so-and-so. Ooh, I got to get back. Oh, I got 325 emails in the last 5 hours. Oh, all this stuff. So I just usually put a little sheet beside me, put a pen, and as things come to me that I've forgotten to do, I'll just write them down. Once I write them down, they leave my mind. And I won't get up because the enemy's trying to get me up. Get me up. Get out of the Word. Get out of spending time with Holy Spirit. So I'll write down the list that keeps coming to me so that I'm free from it. And then I just focus on God's word. I'll sit and just meditate. Holy Spirit, teach me. And something happens to me that inspires me, that lifts me up, that directs me, that heals me, that provides for my family, my home, the church, the television, all that God's entrusted us with. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for these amazing people that you have here at Springs Church. I pray that you'd raise them up as conquerors, more than conquerors, warrior princesses, men who'll know who they are in God and won't back down from the pounding life is trying to give them. And Father, help us to rise up in victory. Help us to rise up using the authority that's already been entrusted to us. I pray that you'd wake up the mighty men. Wake up the mighty women. Let this year be a year of ministry. Let this year be a year of us focusing on others and winning folks, beautiful people, to the kingdom of God. With every head bowed for just a moment, as you've been listening to me, if you're not sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, that I want to lead you in the most powerful prayer I know, a prayer that changes your eternal destiny, a prayer that changes your eternal home, a prayer that brings God into your life, forgives you for everything you've done wrong. I want to lead you in that prayer. I'm going to ask everyone to pray out loud with me. But before I do, for all those that would say, Leon, include me. Today I need to get right with God. Would you open your eyes and just wave at me quickly so I can see your hand, then put it right back down, just saying, Leon, please include me. Today, I'm getting right with God. Hands up all over the auditorium. Where are you? Say, yes, thank you. Others, thank you, thank you. Others, give me a quick wave. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. For those in our other campuses of Springs Church, you're watching right now. There's a pastor, a leader at the front. Raise your hands. God is speaking to you. Something miraculous and powerful is about to take place. Let's all pray out loud with these amazing folks. It goes like this. You say, Dear God, I give you my life. Please come into my heart. Forgive me for everything I've done wrong. From today and on, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Guide me, because I'm following you in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God.
For more information on Leon and his teachings, visit leonfontaine.com.